As many of you know, the word vipassana is the word that, the Pali word, the ancient word, for the that's used for our meditation practice. Sometimes it's, we say we do vipassana practice. And what I want to highlight is that vipassana, the root of the word passana, means to see. And the V is an emphatic prefix, so it's kind of like to see in some special way or an important way. And so some of us like to translate it as clear seeing. And then, as you know, it's often translated almost like the brand that we, our, you know, the our brand of Buddhism, insight, translated as insight. So insight meditation, and it has the word, you know, sight or seeing in it. And this ability to see is, and here we're not talking about only the physical seeing. Some people can't see. But it's the kind of the ability to perceive through any of the senses, or to be able to see through the mind's eye, the wisdom eye, the dharma eye, which is the place in the mind where we are really present for what's happening, and there's wisdom about it. There's a penetrating understanding about what is happening here. And in fact, the experience of it's a real penetration of what's happening in our lives in the Dharma as we mature is called opening the Dharma eye, Dhamma Chakku. And so opening the Dharma eye. So the idea of seeing clearly, there's also when we open the Dharma eye, we see the Dharma. The Dharma, which is visible here and now, is clearly seen. And then sometimes they even talk about with a Dharma eye open, there's knowledge and vision. And for those of you who know a little bit about Hinduism or some of the yogic traditions, in the word for vision is dasana, which in Sanskrit is darshan, darshana. And which is a very powerful word. And darshan is often used for sitting in the presence of a guru, where you, the guru is in sight, as if seeing the teacher is really powerful. And here, in this tradition, is seeing the truth, seeing the real dharma, the experience directly, is very powerful. So knowledge and the seeing, this vision, is over and over again emphasized in this tradition. So imagine that you leave town on a hike and leave city. You're living in a maybe metropolitan area, but there's a mountain on the edges of it. And you go for a nice long hike up in the mountains, higher and higher and higher. And if you don't like the hike, maybe there's a gondola that carries you up to the heights. But you're up to the top. And there's a kind of a, get near the top, and there's a tunnel that goes in. And you go through, or there's a big kind of, say that you get close to the top, and there's a big door, two doors, double doors. And you open these double doors, and you step forward onto this little bit wide ledge on the other side of the mountain. And there, on that ledge, is this vast panorama of mountain after mountain after mountain, mountain ranges, rivers, forests, birds flying, eagles flying around, hawks, clouds. You're up and high up in the mountains, so it's a vast sky that is so clear and broad and wide. And it can be take your breath away. It's so beautiful, this natural world, and maybe in a healthy, wonderful way, you feel very small, or you feel like you're part of this amazing natural world that we live in. And but you're on this ledge looking out at it, and it's just a sense of awe. But it isn't that you want anything. You're not like leaning forward, trying to, I want that mountain, I want that mountain. And it isn't that you're identifying yourself with the scenery there, the rivers and the forest and the trees, and say, well, that's mine, or that's how I want to be, or it's just almost like the sense of self and self-concern drop away in a way that back in the city, when you knew people and they were concerned, all kinds of social concerns are operating. But here in this ledge, looking out at this amazing scene, self-concern drops away. And in fact, so there's a kind of self-forgetting. And we look across the scene, and some of this, what we see, seems dangerous. Some of the mountaintops in difference, there's a storm brewing, and there's snow up there, and you're glad you're not there, because that looks like it could be quite dangerous to be caught in that storm. But it's far away. Or you see these rushing rivers, and of course it's pastoral and wonderful from a distance, but you know, if you were to cross that river, it would be treacherous to cross it. It's roaring down. And so you can see that some of the paths on the side of the cliff going down to the valley below are treacherous, little thin little paths, and it'd be dangerous to walk down there. But you're not going down there. So the danger has no fear for you. And it's like, wow, this, the beauty, the pastoral nature of it, the peacefulness setting, the danger that's there. Standing on a ledge and looking out and just taking it all in a peaceful, open, comfortable way, feeling secure on the ledge, not being for or against anything, just at ease, taking it all in. Then you turn around to go back, and when you turn around, you find out that you're actually on another ledge that's facing the city. And you look down the city, and some of it's quite inspiring and beautiful, and some of it is these beautiful buildings, tall buildings, and some of it clearly is treacherous and dangerous, and there's smog and fires in places in the city. There are clearly poor places that people are in squalor, and places of excessive wealth, but there's also the edges of the city, and beyond the edges there's this vast green plains, grasslands, and beyond that other mountains and oceans and rivers, and the city is just part of this wider, big circle, and you see it all. But you're high on this ledge. And again, you are... There's no inclination to be judging it, to be for or against it. It just all seems to be in the context of this vastness of the natural unfolding of this universe. And you, sitting on the ledge, just watching it, and again, even though you'll go back down to it, defining yourself by it, being caught by desires and this and that, doesn't exist. You just kind of take in this wide field. And there's a stillness and a quiet within you as you gaze out upon the scene. So maybe this analogy is pointing to the ability to be gazing out of the ledge of your eyes. If you can see, physically see, you know, there's kind of like that's your mountaintop on your head, and the ledge is the bottom rim of your eye socket, and you're looking out. And how do you look when you look out into the world? Do you look with an agenda? Does your looking serve as the servant of your fear and anxiety, darting around looking how to make yourself safe? Does your looking, is it a servant of your desires, looking what you can get to the next thing and next things? I think that some of us, you know, we sometimes get pulled into web surfing, and there's the eyes are looking and looking and getting and going to the next thing. And they're busy. They're not at rest and at ease, just looking at the scene. Or do they? Is a seeing in the service of what's wrong, the aversion we have? Or is the seeing, how is that seeing? Or is it just like settling on that ledge in the mountain, looking out on a scene, a natural scene, that we don't have to identify with, we don't have to judge, we don't have to have any agendas with. We just gaze peacefully with the calm eyes, with the relaxed eyes, soft eyes, taking it all in with in a nice way. When I first went to practice in Thailand, I practiced in a small monastery meditation center outside of Bangkok. And it was an interesting place with a variety of things, but there was a man there, a monk, who it was explained that he was an extremely mature practitioner and a deep, deep meditator. In fact, I was told that he had attained something called Nirodha Samapatti, that he could sit in a state of suspended animation, a certain kind of state of cessation, unmoving for 7 days. He can just drop into this deep, deep state. And so I don't know about if he could actually do that, but that's what I was told. But I met him and I talked to him. And the thing that was so remarkable about him was looking into his eyes. And it wasn't like his eyes were deeply receded exactly, like physically receded. But there was something about looking in his eyes that felt like looking into this amazing depths, kind of like being on that ledge in the mountains, looking out at this huge natural scene, or looking out at the night sky, and it's just so deep and vast. There was something about looking at his eyes that I felt, wow, this man is deep. There's depth there, spaciousness there. And some of it was that his eyes were not darting around. His eyes were kind of at rest and at ease. And it wasn't like he was staring at me, but he wasn't not looking at me. His eyes were not bulging out. His eyes were not pulling back. He was just there, and it kind of, there was a feeling inside I had that this man's mind is not agitated. It's at ease. And in that ease, he's just looking. And kind of like looking, and there's no one. I mean, one way it's talked about sometimes in Theravada and Buddhism, which some of you might not like this kind of description, but all the lights were on. He was fully conscious and awake. It was like a house where all the lights were on, but no one's home. So everything was firing. Everything was clearly there. But there was no place of self, no center he was holding onto, no contraction around self, me, myself, and mine. It was kind of this vast emptiness that they experienced. So to be able to see... and become free is a phenomenal thing, because as we begin practicing, as we practice and we start seeing, understanding, feeling, that the way we see is all these things are sticky things are kind of stuck themselves onto the seeing. And we don't just see clearly, we see with desire, we see with fear, we see with judgment, we see with interpretations, we see with bias, we see with bias about who we are, we see about projections and ideas and identities. I'm this way, I'm that way, I have to do this, I'm supposed to do that. And all these ideas are sticky, and they stick onto the eyesight or the perception that we have. And sometimes it's really clear that they're agitating. And with an agenda, the mind is, the eyes or the perception, the hearing, whatever it is darting around and moving and wanting. But when there's no another sticky stuff, then there's just seeing. And it's kind of like if the smog clears and the fog clears, and we see, after a long time not seeing it, how clear the air is. And we see the mountains in the distance we don't normally see. It isn't so much that we're seeing anything, but the absence of smog, we see the clarity. Is clarity a thing? It's not exactly a thing, but the clarity is there. The same thing can happen with the mind. The mind can become clear. And there's no self-preoccupation, self-assertion. There's no self-criticism or self-belittling. We don't have to, there's no self-apology. The self is not in the seeing and the perception. And the same thing when we turn inward, we stand on the ledge of the eyes and we look inside and we see all kinds of things in there as we go along in practice. And sometimes it's said that self-knowledge is seldom good news, because some of what we see is we see our bias and our projections and our fears and our interpretations and our shortcomings and all kinds of things operating in there. And they can be, that can be a source of agitation. That can be fuel for continued identification, ideas, interpretations of ourselves. I'm a bad person, I'm wrong because I'm doing this, and I'm an embarrassment to the Buddhist world because I had an attachment. And but to be able to sit on the metaphoric ledge of our eyesight and look back into ourselves, just like we would look out into the natural world with this unmoving mind, with this peaceful eyesight, not darting around, not wanting, not interpreting, just looking. And of course, some of the things that you might see is maybe not your best qualities, but maybe you don't have to identify with it or do anything with it. And in fact, if you do nothing, just see it, maybe something inside will be slightly amused or slightly kind of liberated. Oh, it's just a natural phenomenon. And so we're seeing what's there. And this ability to see with a kind of unmoving mind, with a mind that's at peace and at rest, that clearly sees but is not darting around, not straining, trying, no strain, no trying to understand, no searching, no stickiness of self, me, myself, and mine, no self in the seeing, just seeing. And it's something about the eyesight, maybe hearing as well, where in the seeing and in the hearing, that itself, there's no added, the seeing itself doesn't add so much. But so we can see at some point all the stuff that we add, the judgments, the interpretations, and the desires we have. Those are all extra. And to see them as extra, but to see with this quiet, still, soft, easy eyesight, to see. The Dharma eye that is opened, that the Buddhism talks about, the Buddha talked about opening the Dharma eye, happens when there's a clear seeing, undisturbed seeing, when the mind, the heart, the eyesight or the inner eye is not agitated, it's at peace. We can just quietly gaze out on the world, quietly gaze on what's inside, to see the direct experience as things are, and we start seeing how things arise and disappear, how they come and go, how experiences are transient and they move and flux and change. And there's something about seeing in this still, peaceful, clear seeing how things are in flux and changing that frees us from the identifications, the attachments, the stickiness of all these ideas and desires and feelings that go along with seeing. there's a kind of just allowing this, the flow, the stream of things, experiences to happen through. And to appreciate how they, everything is just coming and going. And in the going of it, allowing things to come and go in the going of it, then there also is this freedom from attachments, from clinging. There also is this clarity and simplicity of clear seeing, of just being at rest, at ease, on a ledge overlooking a vast natural world, on an edge, ledge, looking at the vast natural world that includes all the things that humans create and are part of it. And maybe be inspired, maybe be free, maybe have compassion, maybe have the heart break at some of the things we see. But there's only seeing. Or say it maybe a little bit more accurately, there's clear seeing without self caught up in the seeing. And that clear seeing makes room and space for the heart, for all other things to operate in a kind of natural way. So both literally, you might be mindful of your eyes and seeing, and see if you how you use your physical eyes. How often do you strain? How often are they darting around? How often are they at rest? How often are they just gazing quietly and peacefully, like you're watching a river, sitting on the bank of a river, watching the river go down, or looking at the sky, at the clouds floating, just kind of very relaxed and open, peaceful? And how much are they agitated in the service of desires and fears and aversions? And then also more deeply in the mind, is there stuff your mind does that is sticky, that sticks itself onto your sight, and so your sight is not so clear? And what experience have you had of clear seeing? Can this idea of an unmoving mind, in a certain kind of way, an unmoving eyes that just sees without getting agitated by anything, be a reference point for you to understand and to gaze upon this inner world of how we do get caught and how we do get sticky? And then in all these complicated ways that you see when you look inward, can you discover how to look upon it with an unagitated mind, with unagitated sight? It's all nature. It's all natural phenomena coming and going. And to switch the paradigm of how we see from we see through the lens of me, myself, and mine, and self, and I, and identity, to the other paradigm where we just see it as nature, as natural phenomena coming and going. Certainly things that we respond to and care for and take care of when it's appropriate, but without this huge, heavy filter of self, gazing upon the world, inward and outward, with eyes that are cool, not feverish, eyes that are peaceful, not agitated, eyes that are caring, not hostile. May your Dharma eye open, and it. So thank you.